I want to give you a short message from God's Word tonight. We've been preaching through the first chapter of Matthew on Sunday mornings in the month of December. We just heard from Ron Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, and we've been, on Sunday mornings, we've been looking at Matthew's account, and I want to do that just a little bit more tonight with Matthew chapter 2. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. It's a little bit of a different take on Jesus' birth than what we just heard from Luke, and that's one of the things we've been discovering in Matthew's account. He starts off with the genealogy of Jesus, and then last Sunday we were talking about how Joseph was visited in a dream by an angel who explained what was going on, why Mary was about to have a baby, and he decided not to end their engagement, but to stay married and to indeed adopt Jesus as his own son. That's the way chapter 1 ends, with Joseph naming Jesus as a sign of this is my son, and he stands in the lineage of me and of my great, great, many times grandfather, David, King David of Israel. Then we come to chapter 2, and we get to this really, really well-known part of the Christmas story, which is the Magi, or the wise men, that see the star, and they make a journey, right? You remember this part of the story, right? Now, that's not in Luke's account, but it's in Matthew's account, and he has a really important point to make for us about the wise men. So let's just ask a few questions about the wise men and see what's going on here in Matthew's account of the gospel. So you've got wise men or magi. So the first question probably is, well, what are magi? We sing a Christmas song called We Three Kings of Orient Are, Bearing Gifts We Travers Far. You know, you've heard that song, right? You remember it, maybe remember it. So are magi kings? Are they rulers? Or are they wise guys? I mean, what is wise men? I don't know, I'm not sure which direction we could go with that. So what are magi? Well, magi are advisors to kings and to rich people. Their royal advisors would be a good way of terming it for you. So kings would, when they had to make a decision, they would call in the magi and be like, hey, magi, tell me what decision I should make here. And the magi would sometimes flip a coin, they would sometimes roll some dice, they would sometimes go out and look at the stars and see what is the answer here. They would use all kinds of pagan rituals, which I'm not recommending those to you, but that's not really what we're here to talk about these magi, because what happened was they knew what the sky looked like. They knew that most of the stars stayed in place. They knew there were some stars that seemed to move, which later on we find out those are planets in their orbit and everything. But then they see this one star, and we might imagine it would appear to them in the west, because they're in the east, they're going to come from the east, over about the area of Jerusalem, or the land of Judah at that time. And they would say, you know, there's a star out there. And that's what we read in Matthew chapter 2. Read with me. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem and Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? And here's the key, we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. So they come to Jerusalem asking this question. Where's the king? We saw the star rise. The king's got to be here, right? Well, where do they get this idea? We'll trace that out in a minute. They say it to King Herod. You see that in verse 3. When King Herod heard, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him, because Herod was a bad guy. When Herod's upset, nobody's happy. Just to let you know, Herod killed a couple of his sons because he was paranoid and thought they were after his throne. And not only that, but he had a number of wives, and also not recommended, but he had a number of wives, and his favorite one, he had her killed. So, I mean, what does that say about, like, the third favorite one? I don't know. I wouldn't want to be any of them, right? So if Herod, he is a bad guy. And he's dangerous, he is paranoid, and when he hears about a king of the Jews being born, then everybody says, uh-oh, look out, who knows what's going to happen, this guy's off his rocker. So Herod finds out about it, and he wants the wise men to find the king and come back and report to him. You remember how the story goes. We move down a little bit farther. Look at verse 9. After they heard the king, They went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, we're not given the details about how exactly that worked, if it was way up in the sky or if it was lower or any of the details about it. But these guys who were wealthy, who were advisors to kings, I mean, they walked into Herod's throne room and just had a conversation with him. Most people didn't get to do that. Okay, these are important guys. They're following the star. And look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. So it is something about the star that these wise men, these wealthy royal advisors, are traveling, making a months-long journey to go find. Well, what is it about the star that makes it so special? Well, I want to show you what's so special about it from the book of Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers. So you can keep your finger or a bookmark there in the book of Matthew. And I want you to turn back with me to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22 through 24 is where we find the story of Balak, King Balak, and Balaam. You may remember Balaam's name. Carson, will you hit the next slide for me? Because I want to just remind you here, Balak is the king of Moab. We see that in chapter 22, about the second half of verse 4. So Balak, son of Zippor, was king of Moab at the time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor near the Euphrates River. So Balaam is a royal advisor from a city called Pethor. Now, we don't know exactly where that was, but we're told it's by the Euphrates River. So that means it was to the north and east of Moab. So Balak, the king of Moab, sends for Balaam and says, I need your help, Balaam. I need a royal advisor to come and to help me out with this because the Israelites are moving into the land of Canaan and I'm the king of the Moabites and I'm scared they're going to take our land. So Balaam, I need you to come put a curse on the Israelites. That's how you're going to help me out. And Balaam says, I'm not going to go in chapter 22. Then Balak sends another group and says, no, you've really got to come. And Balaam says, I'll go, but I'm only going to say what God tells me to say. That's when he gets on the donkey. You remember Balaam and the donkey, that whole story. So God really sends Balaam a strong message on that journey saying, you better only say what I tell you to say. Then we get to chapter 23, and Balaam begins delivering his messages, and they're not the messages that Balak wants to hear. Instead of putting a curse on the Israelites, Balak is blessing them. He's saying, this people, nobody's going to be able to stop them. They're going to take over this entire land. No, they're blessed by God. Nobody can raise a hand against them. And Balak is like, no, you better go back and get another message. So Balaam has to get a second message, a third message. Then the fourth message comes along that Balaam is going to give. And this is in chapter 24. And I want you to look down there with me and read this. Chapter 24, verses 17 through 19. This is the second half of this prophecy. Balaam's prophecy to Balak says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter, meaning a king or a ruler, will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. Edom will be conquered. Seir, his enemy, will be conquered. But Israel will grow strong. A ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. And this is the prophecy that the wise men knew about, that there would be a star that would rise out of Jacob, meaning there would be a ruler. And later on, they came to understand this was King David in some ways, but only in a small way. It wasn't the final fulfillment of this, because when the wise men, when they looked over the horizon and they said, there's a star rising that's not supposed to be here, according to what we know. Something's going on. Let's figure out what this is. And they looked back through different books, most likely, and they said, hey, here's one that says about a star rising out of Jacob. And what it means is that there's a king that's going to raise Israel up, and he's going to rule over all the other nations. This king is being born. And the wise men said, we've got to go see this king. We've got to go worship him. And that's what they do. But think about how Matthew uses this in his story of the gospel. This is really, really amazing. The prophecy itself takes place when a foreign evil king who means to harm God's people calls a wise man from the east and says, hey, come help me destroy God's people. And Balaam says, no, I'm not going to do it. And he gives him this message about a star rising from the east. And then some 1400 years later, a king hears from some wise men from the east, a king who is evil and an enemy of the people of Israel. And he says, wise men, you guys come find this king and help me. I'm going to worship him. And the wise men, they turn away and they say, no, we're not going to help you. Think about this. We have almost the exact same scenario as when the prophecy was given, when it's being fulfilled. And that's one of the reasons that Matthew thinks it is so important for us to hear the story about the wise men and the star rising, because not only is it a prophecy over 1,000 years ahead of time that there would be a king born of Israel who was going to reign over the nations, not only is it confirmation that God's word is true and all of those kind of things when we see prophecy being fulfilled like that, but we also see that God is working in these patterns to demonstrate, even back the story of Balaam and riding his donkey, and the donkey talks to him in a little while. We all think, oh, that's a cute story for the kids in Sunday school. But what is God doing all along is he's setting up patterns and ways that we can see that the fullness of Christ is being fulfilled in Jesus' birth. So it's just an incredible section of the book of Matthew that points out that this evil king, wise men from the east, wanting to destroy the nation of Israel by destroying this king, and the angry king, who we'll talk about this coming Sunday, Lord willing, who, because of what he's found out, is going to massacre all the babies of Bethlehem. That's what Herod's going to do. It's shocking, the parallels that we see here. So here's why I'm bringing you this message, because that's some really, I hope, fascinating information about the Bible for you, how the Old Testament and New Testament fit together, and how there are so many prophecies that are being fulfilled, at least five different prophecies in just in Matthew chapter 2 are being fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, and Matthew wants to show us these. It's incredible to think about this. But that's not all that I want you to see, because this also should serve as a challenge to us. Think about these wise men. They're not Jewish. They don't have a reason to go and worship Israel's king, we would think. They're from a foreign nation. But the wise men, they hear God's word. They read the prophecy from Numbers. They recognize the meaning of the star. And then they set out on a costly journey to go find this king who was foretold thousands of years ago. Like I said, they weren't Jewish. They had no reason to recognize Jewish as Messiah. Why would they worship, bow down before the king of Israel? But they realized, at least in just a small way, what was really going on here. And we should be challenged by what these wise men do. When we hear God's word, should recognize its meaning. We should ponder these kind of things, especially at this time of year. I hope that a story like this, maybe even in a new way for you tonight, that you've never thought about how the story of Balak and Balaam, how it foreshadows the entire account in Matthew chapter 2 of the wise men coming to bow down and worship Jesus. Maybe you've never thought about that before. Maybe these things are ruminating in your mind, even if it's just tonight for these 10 minutes that I'm talking to you. Maybe God can use that as an open door in your own mind and heart to say, there is something more here that you're missing, and I don't want you to miss out on it. In fact, that's exactly, Carson, if you would hit the next slide for me, that's exactly what Peter says in 2 Peter 1:19. Read this up here with me. You can read silently. I'm not saying read it out loud. I'll read it to you. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, which is something that we've seen tonight, right? God's message, his word, is reliable, even thousands of years ahead of time. We have it as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it And that's my challenge to you tonight, is to pay attention to God's word and the message he's trying to bring you. As to light, a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Wise men, looking up at the night sky, see a star rise and they say, there's something here. Let's find out what it is. And tonight, maybe for some of you, maybe even for the first time, there's a star rising in your hearts. And you're saying, this is something I need to seek. This is something I need to find. Maybe this star is actually leading me to Jesus, which is what I've been missing and what I actually need. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, because it's going to happen the same way in your life as it happened for the wise men. You're going to hear God's word. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So you're going to hear God's word and you're going to hear his message. You're going to hear that there is something life-changing. There's something about Jesus that's worth dropping everything and taking a months-long journey at great expense and great cost to yourself. It's worth selling everything that you have, leaving everybody that you know in order to follow him and pursue him. He is the all-glorious, all-satisfying treasure of the entire cosmos, the entire universe is Jesus. And there's a star rising that's pointing you to him. And the question tonight is, will you follow that star? Let's pray together. Father, there's a star tonight that you are raising in our lives, in our hearts. Many of us already know Jesus. God, and I pray that that star would shine brightly for any way that we have forgotten, any way that we have let it grow dim or turned our attention to other things. That you would reorient our lives around the birth, the life, the resurrection of Jesus. And God, for anybody tonight who doesn't know Jesus, who's never taken that journey to worship a baby in a manger and a resurrected king who now sits at your right hand, God, tonight, may they drop everything until they know him. May they leave on that long, months-long journey, or maybe just the journey of a moment that's taken by placing their faith in you for salvation. We ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.